think if I get less than four, I checked if Mashiach is coming or something.
Okay, this evening we're going to discuss, the title is Kol Isha, Prohibition of Listening to a Woman's Voice, Intriguing Applications and Interpretations. And indeed, that's what we're going to do this evening. We have many, many interesting interpretations of this prohibition of Kol Isha and their applications. Most of which, by the way, are not accepted by the masses of Halacha L'maisa. So before you apply anything here tonight, be sure to contact your local Orthodox rabbi. There are basically three Talmudic sources for the prohibition of Kol Isha: the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara in Kedushin, and the Gemara in Sota. So we'll begin one by one. The first source is the Gemara in Brachos of Chavdal Amrav, a very famous Gemara, where we have three views as to what is considered erva. I mean, they're all erva. We have Rav Chista.
Does he didn't put on a sheet?
No, it's not on a sheet. Rav Chista says that the leg of a woman is erva. Shmuel says the voice of a woman is erva. And Rav Sheshet says the hair of a woman is erva. That's the first source. Shmuel says the voice of a woman is erva. Kedushin Dafayin, an interesting go-between between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman. And Rabbi Nachman says to Rabbi Yehuda, would you please, on your way out, or whatever it might have been, send greetings to my wife. Send my wife regards. So Rabbi Nachman yells back to Rabbi Yehuda, but kol b'isha erva. How can I send regards to your wife? It might lead to me hearing her voice. Kol b'isha erva. A woman's voice is nakedness. Erva. And finally, a very interesting piece in Sota, the third source for Kol Isha, Gemara in Sota, Daf Memches, Amud Aleph. And when the Sanhedrin was dissolved, Chazal made a ban of singing at festive meals. There are a lot of things in our day and age which might seem to contradict Shulchan Aruch and Takanas Chazal with music and Zeichel Churban. It's a different issue. But they actually made a Takana, there's no singing at festive meals. Rav Yosef says, as part of this gzera, when men sing and women respond, when a singing is arranged in a way that men and women are singing together, in which the men sing several verses and the woman answer, right? Let's say Hallel, when the chazan says a line and the kahal responds, same idea. So Rav Yosef says that when men are leading a song and the women answer, that's pizzas. Inappropriate conduct. But when women sing and men are the one answering, it brings a very strong lushna over there. It's like fire burning a flax field. The Eight Sahara is on overdrive when women are leading the singing. So Rashi explains over there, what's the difference? Rashi says, what's the difference if men sing and women respond, or women sing and men respond? So Rashi explains that when a leader is leading, those listening are paying attention to know when they have to respond. But when is my piece, right? So you're listening to the leader sing, and those who have to respond are focusing on what the leader is saying, so they know how or when to answer what they're supposed to answer. Okay? The reverse, though, is not true. Those who are leading have the main part, so they're not focused too much on those who are answering. Those who are answering have a small piece, it's a quick piece, it's minimal in the eyes and the ears of those who are leading. So if men are answering and women are leading, then men are focused on the women. It leads to possible sexual excitement.
Which Gemara was that again?
That was the Sota Memches Amud Aleph. So that leads to sexual excitement when men are focused on the women's voice. Okay? Now, these are the three Talmudic sources, and there's a lot to discuss. And the post can bring out a lot of stuff based on these three sources. Okay? The first thing is, and these are the interesting interpretations and applications of the three Talmudic sources we just saw. And one of them is, machloikis, whether it means a woman's singing voice or even a woman's speaking voice. Okay, now the Sefer Chassidim, the very, very big machmer. And based on the Gemara and Kedushin, the Sefer Chassidim say it means even the speaking voice of a woman is forbidden. Indeed, that seems to be the simple reading of the Gemara, at least in Kedushin. Send regards to my wife, ain't no singing going on. But nevertheless, we see kol b'isha erva. So Sefer Chassidim is very strict. And he says, because of Kol Ba'isha Erva, he says that an unmarried man is not allowed to teach unmarried girls in the classroom setting. Cannot be a teacher. An unmarried man cannot be a teacher to young unmarried girls because he'll have to hear their voice. Kol Ba'isha Erva. It's not possible for a man, he says unmarried, but it could apply to all men. Perhaps he's not so strict if you're married. But for an unmarried man, it's a concern that if Kol Ba'isha Erva, a woman's voice is sexually arousing, even in the classroom, the spoken voice will arouse the teacher, and therefore it's forbidden. Another wow, an interesting Or Zarua. The Or Zarua in Hilchos Kriyat Shema has a whole discussion, basically fictitious discussion. They come down to the end, it's not possible. But the Or Zarua has a discussion where he suggests that if a woman's voice is erva, and a woman's erva is forbidden for sure during Kriyat Shema, that a woman should be forbidden to ever say Shema. Because if a woman's voice is erva, and Kriyat Shema is Kedusha, you can't have erva makom Kedusha, then a woman should, in theory, never be permitted to recite the Shema. And of course, it's untenable. Of course, it's just a theoretical, academic discussion. But to give you the extent, an idea of the extent to where Kol Isha is taken, you have that Or Zarua where he suggests that it might just be, we're just on oral warm-ups till we hit the sheet now. It might just be that a woman will be forbidden to say Kriyat Shema. Of course, it's not the case, but it gives you an idea of the Erva and Kriyat Shema. Okay?
Voice
what a man hears. So he wants to say, we're saying that a woman's voice is inherently erva. Now we know that when a woman says Shema, when a woman davens, she has to be wearing clothes because she's exposed. It's erva, so if she has to cover her erva, the physical body, if her voice is erva, that should have to be covered as well. I.e., it can't be around, voice can't be heard, and hence, by extension, by radical extension, you can't ever pray, you can't ever say Shema. Because if you open your mouth, it's like taking off your clothes. It's the same thing. If voice is erva, the woman's body is erva. The woman has to cover her body when she davens. She should have to cover her voice when she davens too.
There's nobody that actually proposes such a thing in reality.
No.
No. Because
of kasher. It's a whole alumnus of the erva, Kol Ba'isha Erva. Okay. What did you say? Okay.
So the Chana,
we might, the Chana and Dvorah singing, I think we're going to get to on the actual sheet. Good kashas. We'll keep them holding for now. Okay? But of course, most poskim, rishonim, say that Kol Ba'isha Erva only applies to Kriyat Shema. Okay? I'm sorry. Only applies to a singing voice. I didn't want to give, I just might have given away my next piece. Kol Ba'isha Erva applies only to a singing voice and not to a spoken voice. And we know that's halacha l'maaseh, because that's how we all behave today. We all speak to women without problem, in the store, in the street, in the classroom, whatever it might be. However, if Kol Ba'isha Erva means only a woman singing, what was that Gemara Kedushin so upset about sending regards to the wife? Right? Avakasha. If Kol Ba'isha is only singing, what was wrong with Rav Yehuda sending regards to Rav Nachman's wife? So the answer is, if they want to say that the problem there was not literally Kol Isha, but was the relationship that might develop when men and women are mingling and sharing regards, exchanging. It does. Most explain it's not really the voice, it's what leads after you hear the voice, leads to a relationship, a forbidden relationship. Okay? So again, that indeed is a case that's kimat unanimous. We'll see there's some applications, but it's completely almost unanimous that applies to a woman singing and not to a woman speaking. Okay? Another interesting interpretation, and this is from the Rama, no less, in Shulchan Aruch, that which we say that a woman's singing voice is forbidden, it doesn't apply if the voice is ragil. If the voice, you're used to the voice, you know it, you're immune to it, is the right word. If you're immune to a woman's singing voice, according to Rama, there's no Isra of Kol Isha. You're used to it. I don't know an example, but I guess...
How are you allowed to get used to it?
Rock singers.
Yeah, okay, there's Rabbeinu Yonah, high lot to get used to it. Rabbeinu Yonah, we'll get to the end. Kasha, good Kasha, keep on hold if it's not properly answered. Feel free to ask it again. But if you're regular to it, there's a story of Rav Kook. When Rav Kook lived in what we call now the Beit HaRav, in the center of town in Yerushalayim. So he had a student that lived near him as well. And the student once came in and he said to Rav Kook, this lady next door to me, she's always singing. She's always singing. Every morning she's singing. I'm supposed to daven Shabbos. We have a little minion over here. I can't concentrate on the davening. She's singing. What do I do? Do I tell her to stop? Do I tell her to call Bisha Eva? So Rav Cook answered, if you hear her singing, you're not davening hard enough. You're not concentrating enough on your own davening. You shouldn't be hearing the woman singing, eh? So I don't know how you get... But that's Rama Ragel. You know, this could be... Now going, hi. This could be related... We're still on the oral warm-up before we get to the sheet. This could be related to the famous Aruch HaShulchan. A married woman has to cover her hair, because a woman's hair is erva. But the Aruch HaShulchan, same idea as the Raman, Kol Isha, says, we're so used to women's exposed hair in our day and age... The Aruch HaShulchan says maybe it's not erva anymore. And maybe there's no prohibition to daven in front of a married woman whose hair is uncovered. That's a famous Aruch HaShulchan. Everyone relies on it b'dieved. It's not l'chatchila, of course. But b'dieved, we're ragil. We're so used to woman's hair. It simply, and the reality is, it simply doesn't excite us. A woman's hair doesn't excite us. Maybe it should, but because the whole world, not just the whole world, but we grew up in America, let's face it, right? Hair covering wasn't always the number one mitzvah. Okay? Especially if you know Montreal. Okay. Right, come up. Anyways, we're used to it. That's the Aruch HaShulchan. It's not me. And that was in his day and age, remember? So, just like you can daven in front of uncovered hair with the Eved, perhaps this is also the same idea as Rama. A voice that you are ruggled with, a voice that you're used to hearing, is not Erva either. Okay. So then there's a famous machloikis. Does Kol Isha apply only during davening and Kriyat Shema? Or does it apply at all times? This is a famous machloikis. But interesting, the Shita Mekubetzes and the Ritva and others as well, including the Gaonim, hold that the whole prohibition of Kol Isha is only by Kriyat Shema, only by davening. What's the raya? That the original ruling of Shmuel in the Gemara and Brachos, the first citation, is in reference to Kriyat Shema. The daf over there is really talking about Kriyat Shema. At the end, we have the Rav Huna, Rav Sheshes, and Shmuel talk about different forms of erva. But the context over there is Kriyat Shema. So the Ritva and the Shita want to say that's only during Kriyat Shema as an issue of Kol Isha. At all other times, it doesn't apply.
According to them, the remote work very well. If you become rugged all other times, then you forget the Kriyat Shema.
Very good.
Already heard it.
Very good. You hear? Very good. Now, some wanted to say that because the Mechaber puts Kol Isha by Kriyat Shema, some want to say that the Beis Yosef of Mechaber held it only by Kriyat Shema no other time. There's a kasha there though, because in Eben Ezer, he also says Kol Isha Erva without qualification. But the interesting is the Rambam, we'll get to that more later, does not bring Kol Isha Erva by Kriyat Shema, only later in all other contexts. Okay, and interesting, the Rif doesn't bring it at all. The halacha of Kol the Isha Erva is not found in the writings of the Rif. Okay? Now, some say the exact reverse. Get this. This is a wow. That the whole Kol Isha Erva applies at all times, except when saying Kriyat Shema. Okay, again, yeah, make sure you heard this right. You really did hear it here first. Okay? Alatu. The Rambam, for one.
No, the
Kesef Mishnah explains the Rambam as saying that the Rambam didn't write it by Hilchos Kriyat Shema because by Kriyat Shema he holds it doesn't apply. Now, how's that possible? It sounds radical and ridiculous, but I'll explain to you. That's a very nice answer. It's related to the sheet you have over there. But what I saw was like this. It seems that when the Jews lived in these communities, women singing was very popular. It was very frequent, very common. I don't know why, I don't know the context, but you'll see in the writings, that's what it is. That's what it was. So they were worried that they're going to Oser Kol Isha by Kriyat Shema, you'd never get to Daven and say Shema. That's how much singing was going on. I don't make this stuff up. That's what it says. There was so much singing going on. Mishnah Berurah brings this, by the way. You have to go so far to dig up this idea. Mishnah Berurah says that if we were going to be so machman and Kol Isha, even by Kriyat Shema, you might come to not be saying Shema ever. I think it was Loshna as Batal Torah, Torah Satkila, and Mumu Torah, Bittal Torah, something like that. Of course.
You don't want to listen to her by Kriyat Shema either. But the Eved, you say Kriyat Shema because it's Ein Breira.
Right. So why couldn't they ask her? If there's real Erev in front of your eyes, there's no hesitation whatsoever. So why were here the Ramekel? Answer is they had to be Mako because you might never get to say Shema. Okay, so that's what's really interesting. Okay, moving right along. Okay. For women or for us?
Men and women. the pizza and you hear a woman singing.
Okay, we have a piece on women saying Kaddish on the handout. Okay, we're getting there. Famous Maharam Shik. The famous Maharam Shik. So the Maharam Shik says Kol Ish is only forbidden when you see the woman. Okay? Ki Ein Yetzer Hara Sholet El B'masha Ein Avros. The Yetzer Hara, he says, it's from a Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's another place as well. Sanhedrin Daf Nen Hey. That the Yetzer Hara is only interested on what the eye sees. The Maharam Shik says from that Gemara, you don't know what the woman looks like. You don't see the woman. There's no Yetzer of Kol Isha. Okay, we're getting there. But that Gemara, the Maharam Shik, says, Ein Yetzahara El Moshin Ein Avrod, only what his eye sees, on that daf, on Sanhedrin, there's a Tosfos. And Tosfos quotes the Gemara Megillah, that says, Rachav, Rachav. Any man who said, Rachav, Rachav was the innkeeper in Jericho, any man who says, Rachav, Rachav, would have a discharge, a male discharge. So aye, that seems to be a proof that if you don't see her, but you just say her name, it's exciting, sexually exciting. So the Gemara and Tosfos say over there, no, it's when you knew what Rachav looks like. If you don't know what Rachav looked like, you can say her name, it wouldn't lead to any excitement. But if you knew what she looked like, even if she's not there, it would lead to sexual excitement. Okay? So from here, they want to bring the radio. Okay, the Rav Avi Yosef is very strict on this, that if as long as you don't know what the woman looks like, it's okay, there's no Isra Kol Isha. But if you've ever seen her, even a photograph, and if you don't see her now, but you know what she looks like, then the Isra Kol Isha applies. Okay? Akula from all places, Rav Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Lachos, so he's one of these that say that you can be makel if you don't know what she looks like, and also because of the mechanical reproduction. That's what radio is, that's what the CD is. It's mechanical reproduction. He says you can't be Yotzi on radio, Havdalah, or Shofar, or Megillah on Purim, then the Isra of Kol Isha shouldn't apply by radio either. It has to work both ways. Either radio and mechanical reproduction is the real thing, or it's not the real thing. We say by Shofar, by Megillah, it's not the real thing, therefore by Kol Isha it shouldn't be either.
Unless you say to stop making it for Machmir in both directions.
And that's obviously that's the Machmir
and
say.
Right.
Singing songs. We're talking about Neshama Karlbach. What's her name? Neshama Karlbach. Neshama Karlbach. Psukim. Right. I mean, obviously kosher songs, whatever that might be. Okay. Nechelkas Yaakov.
It's not really. It really is not their voice. It's digitally mastered. Like,
but it's so good. It really sounds like their voice. Let's be real.
Better than their voice.
Right. Or better than their voice, even. Right. Right.
Exactly.
So if I go to an opera, if you're not looking down at the person singing, you don't see the voice or the microphone being attached.
Okay, so we have on the sheet over there, and I hope to get to it tonight, but a woman standing in front of men. It's issues just that alone. Okay, good questions. Very good questions. Keep them. I think we're getting to them. Okay? The Chalkas Yaakov doesn't accept the argument of Ein Yetzahara. Elabashin Einav Ra'os doesn't accept the argument that if you don't see a Yetzer Hara, won't be excited. Chalkas Yaakov is machmer for radio, for the phonograph, CDs, I'm sure, that if you know what she looks like, it would still be usher. Okay? Zmiros, singing at a table. The famous Svideish. Anyone who's ever opened up Kol Isha, you've come across the famous Svideish. Yaakov Yichel Weinberg. He has a famous tshuva in Chalak Beis, Simen Ches, and it's the following. It's history. It's a tshuva worth looking up. If anything, you go from tonight and you want to look up Kol Isha, it's a Svidei Eish. Because it's halacha, it's history, it's a lot over there. And in Europe, there was a youth group called Yeshurun. Okay? Yeshurun was what you call today Bnei Akiva, a modern Orthodox mixed youth group. And they went to the Svidei Eish, and they asked him what he thought about the boys and the girls singing together. So the Svidei Eish goes through this in his tshuva. Is it mutter or is it asr? So he notes over there that there was a German minig in the homes, the Shomer Shabbos homes, that the husbands and wives would sing together, Zmiros, even if they were guest presents. They were not makfir. And why was that? That was based on the principle of Trei Kolei Lo Mishtame. That teaches, it's a Talmudic principle which teaches that when there are two voices at once, you can't properly hear any of them, either of them. So really, Zelotofes, you're not drawn after one voice over the other. That's why it's forbidden to hear Kiddush from more than one person at a time. Okay? There are some exceptions to the rule. The Lashon is some chaviv. Something is very beloved. You could focus properly. Forget all the exceptions. And in fact, I think the Megillah on Purim might be one of them. They have two people. Yeah, it is. They have two people reading the Megillah together. You would be Yotze, even though there's two voices going, because it's Chaviv. We enjoy it. We look forward to it. So we would properly focus on one reading rather than both and get mixed up. Any other exceptions? Do you remember offhand? Shofar? Your two shofars are one. Yeah, no, rings a bell, yeah, thank you. Yeah, there's no chiyuv to hear to, you know, to hear every word. Yeah, no chiyuv to follow along every word. Okay, but that's the idea. So they were mekel in Germany because of trei kole. There were two voices when men and women sing together, like Shabbos and Mitzvah at the table. You can't probably focus on one voice, so nothing is sexually exciting. So the issue is, I don't hold of this. He says, a trei kole, I don't hold of. Rav Shimon Shofar Hirsch held of it. Rav Hilde Scheimer held of it. He says, I don't hold of it.
Is it one, two women, or a man and a woman, or either one?
Two women.
It would seem two or more women.
No, according to...
By the husband or wife, right. It says husband or wife.
My husband or wife. Is a right. Man and a woman.
So any two voices. It seems from there, any two voices would negate any prohibition of Kolisha. Okay? So the student says, I don't hold of it. I don't have the Trei Kolei Heter. What he says, what he brings, and this is a wow on its own, he brings a Stei Chemed, who quotes a Sfardi post like a Divrei Chefetz, that Kol Isha doesn't apply to Zmiros, to eulogies, what was the other one? And children's songs. Divrei Chefetz, quoted in the Stei Chemed, says that prohibition of listening to a woman's voice does not apply to Zmiros. Why? Because Zmiros get your heart towards heaven, it arouses you to Ruchnius. You're not thinking sexually when you're being aroused by the words to spiritual heights. Okay, children's songs also, and mourning. This is found in other places as well, that at a time of death and mourning, there's less concern for Yetzer Hara. You asked a kasha on that, which I didn't see. It's my kasha. That when Mashiach comes, there's going to be a famous funeral. I forget the whole, Zachariah speaks about it, that we're going to have mechitzas, even when Mashiach comes. I think the eulogy, if anyone could feel free to jump in and correct me, is going to be eulogy, I think, for Mashiach himself. Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed. There's going to be a nationwide eulogy, and men and women will be separate. And that's why we have to have mechitzah in the shul. And
that's
even
not just for Polisha. That's the other issues of fraternizing.
Right, but it does seem to contradict the rule that in death and mourning, there's no concern for Yitzhahara, for sexual excitement, because you're concentrated on the mourning. I don't know. That's just off the cuff. Maybe there's no kasha there whatsoever. What? If a man is
warning that
right, so it means when the death is in front of you, when the act of death is in front of you, you're right. It wouldn't apply for all shiva, obviously. Okay, that's the radio. We spoke about Zmiros, a famous Kol Isha, and the Sri De Esh permitted this youth group to have their mixed singing. It's a heter which is taken to this day by those who need to use it. Esa Sois Lashem, they say. You don't let them sing together. They might be off on the street doing other things. Esa Sois Lashem, they favor Torah Secha. Perhaps this is the lesser of the evils. Have a frum group, even though the boys and girls might have to sing together. Okay.
He was against it
for the purpose of Trei Kolei. He didn't hold of that. But he permitted it based on the Stei Chemed, who said it doesn't apply to Zmiros, or by extension, any Torah Dika songs, any songs with Jewish Torah content. That's why he held of it. Okay, yeah?
I think if I recall, I saw...
What?
It's
Big Kula. Of course.
I think it's a star post. I think if I recall correctly, he was a star of three sheikhs. Number one, it had to be Trei Kolei. Number two, it had to be that it was Zmiros. And number three, that it had to be in a makom or a zman where women would be offended if they weren't singing. Combining those three factors, and the CS was the case.
Yeah,
in Germany, that's what he was like.
Because I understood when I glanced through it that he was rejecting the idea of Trei Kolei. Yeah. You're saying
he was rejecting each one independently.
But we put them together? Okay. That's what it was? Yeah, he was a star of all three? Okay, thank you.
At least that's what NCSY operated
on. Oh, yeah? Okay. Are you sure they didn't get the Trei Kolei from somewhere else? And there's Neos from the Sri De Esh?
I saw it.
Yeah? So I thought he knocked the Trei Kolei. So I didn't hear it. Okay. Be as it may, I think before you came in, I said everything we're going to speak tonight is halacha v'lo l'maisa. Contact your local Orthodox rabbi before engaging anything here tonight. Okay. The Chatan Sofer, by the way, is a big one. It says a Trei Kolei. There's more than one voice. it's okay. Kol Isha is negated. There's more than one woman singing. Okay, that's the Chatan Sofer. Those who rely on the choirs or whatever it might be, it's the Chatan Sofer. Okay, fine. One more interesting thing is from the Ape Zutre in the 1700s. He wants to say that just like hair is only by a woman who's married, by a young girl who's not married, it's not erva. We're allowed to daven a sort of young girl who's not married, for hair uncovered. So to maybe the voice, Kol Isha only applies to married women. It's a chiddush. Okay, but the Ape Zutre, he wants to say that just like hair is only when you're married, perhaps Kol Isha is as well. Okay. And I'm sorry? What'd you say? Right. There's a problem there, because we know that a young girl can't have her leg exposed. Right. The Ape Zutre. I looked on, I saw it quoted, I went to HebrewBooks.org, and the only Ape Zutre they had was so garbled and like old ancient texts, I really didn't look at it in the original, but it's quoted in the name of the Ape Zutre. It is there on HebrewBooks.org if you have the patience to go through the ancient text and see exactly how he's... It's good kasha, because, yeah, you have hair, you have the voice, you have the leg. No one says the leg is mutter, so why should the voice be? Okay. But I'm showing you intriguing interpretations and applications. That's tonight. One more wow before we get to the sheet. One more wow. That there is a gisha in the poskim. There is a view that if you know yourself you're not excited by the voice of a woman, then perhaps there might not apply to you a prohibition of Kol Isha. If you know you're strong or you're ragil or whatever it is, by the voice of a woman singing you're not going to be aroused, then perhaps there's no prohibition. What's the raya? Rav Gidal would teach the woman how to go to the mikvah, and Rabbi Yochanan would stare at the pregnant woman so their boys, their children, should be good looking like him. There was a Gemar Ksubis, one of the Tanoim would dance with the lady on his shoulder. Okay, we got that too. But we see that there were Tanoim and Amoraim that did these types of questionable behaviors, and when they asked, what are you doing? I think the Gemar Ksubis answers, it's a piece of wood to me. It's one of guys like geese, the ducks.
How alive we should be on them, Rodrigo.
Exactly. Obviously, these are great Tanoim and Amoraim, but there seems to be a concept that if you're sure of yourself, that perhaps, forget who says this, I didn't write this in my notes, who said it, but there's an idea that someone say that Kol Isha, if you're strong and you know it doesn't attract you, there might not be a prohibition. Fine. And finally, there's a Rabbeinu Yonah of all places, Kol Isha doesn't apply if you don't pay attention. The only way you pay attention, you want to enjoy the woman's voice, it applies. Rabbeinu Yonah says if you're not paying attention to it, it may not apply. Okay, Ad Kan Hakdamas.
That's very relevant, because you walk through like malls, airports, and there's always
something playing in the background.
Right. I mean, when you walk away tonight, you know, you'll know that maybe like when you're in the bus and hear the radio go on, you don't have to go ballistic and burn tires and trash, whatever it might be, you know, in protest that there's Kol Isha going on, right? We see there's room to negotiate in the airport. You don't have to burn down the air, the sound system in the airport. The lady is a commercial advertisement that's coming on. That's the idea of all these coolers. Of course, if you don't take, it doesn't take much of a Torah education to know that it's just not sneeze to be involved in a woman's voice, a woman singing. But when you're in places where it's beyond your control, there's also to be relaxed. It's not a, they're not to, you know, make a tumult about it either. Okay, let's go to the sheet. Women giving a shiur or lecture. Is a woman permitted to give a shiur in front of men? Okay, you have to have a guest speaker, a Torah teacher. Shira Smiles. Who are the famous ones these days giving shiur? I don't know. Bevitson, this one or that one? Are they allowed to give a shiur? So the Shu'ut Shevet Alevi Rav Ozner says, Yeshtei tshuvos bingin isha shino emes barabim. He has two tshuvas regarding a woman giving a lecture in public. Tshuva Rishona and Shevet Alevi Chalakim al Yudalin. He brings three principles. Yesod Rishon, the first principle. Yesh inyan kol b'isha gam milvad kol zemer. He holds that you got to be careful. No, even a speaking voice is chashash kol isha. Two, yisod sheni b'meshech numa darka l'hanim kola l'achnif hashomim. A good speaker knows how to manipulate his or her voice to get people to pay attention. The lady speaking, she's causing men to pay attention. That's a problem. The problem with sneezes. And you saw Shlishi, the whole Dibur Shal Chava Salev, Tarif Hakpid. A woman is educating you, or she's making you feel good, and she's teaching you, it might lead to some kind of affection for her. We've got a problem over there too. Three problems, the Shevet HaLevi says. You know the tshuva sheni, the tshuva the Shevet HaLevi, and the second tshuva in Chalakei, Shekafa kamad varim tshuva rishon leni yishon imas bradin. Okay. Od kasa the Shevet HaLevi, he also writes, the ne'umim b'fnei rabim b'frat shlo b'nyeni mitzvah, secular lectures, the professor in the university, kiva the meshech ne'uma darka lahanim kola, makes her voice attractive to the listeners, rachnif hashoy min kiyedua, l'choy rat tzedek im hasho el delogara hashav hashom be'alma, kach yesh lochush l'kol isha v'l'asur, especially, he says, it's not a dvar mitzvah, he shouldn't go to a lecture by a woman giving on a secular topic. That's the Shevet HaLevi.
I'm saying in general.
A speaking voice. I'm saying a non-Jew. Yes, it does apply to a non-Jew. And that Mishnah Berurah talks about it. I quoted it. It's in Ayin Hay, where the Mishnah Berurah says, if we're going to be makbid during Kriyat Shema, we never get to say Shema. So it brings over there, talks about a goy also, and says it also applies to a goy. Reshut az nidbaruk gam kasa lachmir. He's also one of machmirim. Bisha no emes brabim fnei anashim etamu lechol de lo havi gibor ragil havichlal kol bisha erba. Why is it called isha? It's not ragil. Even the speaking voice is not ragil. I guess maybe it's a woman who lectures all the time. Maybe it would become ragil, but at first it's not ragil. When we time to ask the shemon umim shal nashim muvadai havichol she in ragil people yizar shal yisaka lein nami asur. So here I brought two machmirim. The women aren't allowed to give a shir. Women should give shir to women and men to give to men. I guess men could give women also. There's actually some discussion in the poskim whether a woman's allowed to hear a man sing. And there are machmirim. You don't see it anywhere. All the girls are playing the Shvetki tapes and all that stuff, right? All the, you know. But there is a view in the poskim that does apply the reverse as well. That a woman cannot hear a man sing. Okay. Here's something interesting. The second thing, a woman reading the Torah. Okay, listen to this. Famous Gemara. Megillah Chav Gimel, Tanu Rabbanan, Hakol Oilim Minyan Shiva. Anyone can read the Torah. Okay, we're not talking about just getting aliyahs, because in Talmudic times, getting an aliyah means you read the Torah. Even a child, even a woman. Even a child can get an aliyah. The only reason a woman shouldn't get an aliyah is not because of kol isha, because of kovod tzibur. Hare kipshuto mutar lisha lalo sekreis b'torah. A woman can get an aliyah. Ve'im hazeh chashash yisra kol isha. There's no problem with a woman singing the trop, reading the psukim. Shari b'vor b'gemar shatam ha'davar she'im lisha l'kro b'torah, whom they cover the tzibur. Because it's not nice to a congregation that has men that can read to start giving women and children to read. The men should take care of the services. Ve'lo b'pnei yisra kol isha. Ve'chan nifsak lalach b'shukhan orach l'chashavis ha'kol oyla min yeshiva afil isha v'katan. A child can make a bracha, can get an aliyah. This is what I want to bring to your attention. It's very interesting that based on this, and we'll see also with the Megillah, trop singing the notes does not have a din of zemer. It sounds pleasant, it's harmonious.
But it's still more than getting a shir.
And yet, you're right. Very good. It's a good kasha.
What about a woman's tefillah
booth? So let me think about this for a second. So the second citation we have here is from the Talmudic era.
And the Shevet HaLevi is not going to argue with the Gemara.
The Gemara is okay.
They'll say if Makor Atzur to have a woman speak with Shevet HaLevi.
Yeah.
He's not working out Kol Isha.
That's true too. There are those, by the way, who do say it's because of Kol Isha as well. And why in Shulchan Aruch being the reason of Kol Isha? Because there would be situations where there wouldn't be a chashash kol isha like a young girl. So I saw this on the portion.
Or everyone's rogel, etc.
Yeah. So although normative.
Kavod tzibur is more.
Right, it's more global. The normative derech of the Rishonim is because of Kavod tzibur, not kol isha. Really, that's the truth. And we learn from here that maybe, but according to this approach, there's no problem with a woman singing psukim from the Torah, the laning. Okay, like I said, there are those who say it is. It's a minority, as a matter of fact. Maybe it's connected.
Maybe it's the same minority. Then.
Yeah, that they grab it on over there. Yeah.
Is this source what the women's tefillah comes from? That they have their own minyan to read their own Torah?
I don't know. That's. I think it's quite unanimous. That's beyond orthodoxy. That's beyond norms of orthodoxy. Anyways, women reading the Megillah. Okay. Shanina b'gemar b'erchin. Akol. Shulchan Aruch says you don't say Kaddish. No, if you have a man, a whole man. Yeah. But Shulchan Aruch says ain omrim Kaddish b'pachos miyud zcharim gedolim. So how can you say Kaddish with 10 women together? It's pushed against Shulchan Aruch, black on white. So this whole woman's minion is like it's not normative halakha. It just make no mistake. You know that there is halakha being lenient, kulas, shasatchak, and there's things that are just off the map. Okay, and that's just off the map. Ain om kaddish the pachos meyud zcharim gedolim. That is hilchas kaddish Shulchan Aruch black on white. So 100 women and no men, they can't say kaddish. Okay, woman reading the Megillah. Shanina b'gemara be'erchin lafbeis. Hakol chayim b'mikra Megillah, all are obligated to the Megillah. It's Purim, right? One of my favorite topics. Hakol k'shem l'kras Megillah. B'su yemai, what does it come to include? Why are you telling me everyone's chayim to Megillah? B'su yei nashim, to include women. Because Rabbi Shulben Levi, as Rabbi Shulben Levi says, nashim chayalot b'mikra Megillah, shatayim not you, boso nes. They were saved, right? Women have to light Hanukkah candles, women have to hear the Megillah, women have to keep Shabbos, right? Some things, well, not because of the same reason, but women were in the miracle of Purim and Hanukkah, they have to keep Purim and Hanukkah. Come before Shim, Kosu before Shemutu, the Isha, Lotzi, Gvarim, Idechova, the Kriyas Megillah. So it's discussed. If a man can't read, could a woman be Yotzi him? So Rashi says, Aswi Nashim, Shachayos, Mikra Megillah, Ukshel, the Kosa, or the Hotzi, Scharim, Idechavasa. Rashi says a woman can read and be Motzi men.
All right,
Rashi? Scharim, Scharim. There's more than one man there. It's a stretch. Hari Rashi lo chashos isha kol isha shekoras megillah negvarim. So I brought this just to show you. But all the posts can say shas of chak, a woman could make kiddush for a man, and there's a nigin there, and shas of chak, a woman could read the megillah for a man. That's across the board.
No,
that's not mashma. It's not mashma like that. You're saying, you know, in Isfara, to try and make it mutter, like, you know, in every possible manner. But it doesn't seem like that. It's Shulchan Aruch, and all the Achorim seem to say, Shasat Chaka, women can be mutter a lot of men. But there's even a Shita, the Dievid, we say that, Berov Am Hadas Amalek, you should have a minion for Kriyas Megillah. Get this? I don't make this stuff up. That women are, for a minion, are accounted for a minion for the purpose of reading the Megillah on Pur and Berov Am. Therefore, it's better to read the Megillah, 7 men and 3 women, than 7 men alone. Because you make up a minyan, and you have Barayv Am, a purpose of Megillah. Okay. Woman saying Kaddish. Okay. Now, of course, not woman saying Kaddish during Tefillah, during the, you know, normative mainstream service, Shachas Mincha Maariv. I'm a woman who's an Avel, she wants to say Kaddish for her father. So the Ber Hativ says like this, Shebetshuvas Knesset Yecheskel, he brings one Shuvas Knesset Yecheskel, the Dabka, Ben haben yomar kaddish. A son say kaddish. Aval ben habasal yomar kaddish. Woman should not say kaddish. The kol shekan habas ein la kaddish klal bebeis haknesses.
You're saying a grandson from a daughter.
Your grandson is better than a daughter.
Are you saying a grandson is better? From a daughter cannot say kaddish for the grandparent. The kol shekan his mother can't.
Kol shekan habas ein la kaddish klal bebeis haknesses. The daughter.
The grandson can't say kaddish for the grandparent. And Kolshkin, his mother,
kid. Right, 2 different cases here.
If you have a grandchild, it's better.
Can. If he's the son of a son, but if he's the son of a daughter,
yes, he's ineligible
to say Kaddish. Kolshkin, the mother of this son,
right,
is even worse than her son.
Right. But im rotim asos laminyan reshut biyadam. She wants to say,
it's not like he's talking about a clue or something. It doesn't sound like he's talking about on a regular,
yeah, I agree,
yearly thing. It sounds like a one time.
I agree. Now the Mate Ephraim goes a little bit more. Kasav, the aim leisha lomar kaddish ashmiya kol al rabim. A woman shouldn't say kaddish. There's no song, there's no tune in saying kaddish. But a woman should not say kaddish to have her voice heard in public. I feel the minion she ain't beit haknesses. Even the minions in her house. Zelashono misha ain't lo bani ragbas. Okay, this is the case of a man, a person dies, has no sons, only has a daughter. He commanded before he dies that he should have a minyan learning Torah in his house. He should pay them. and the girl will say Kaddish after the men learn Torah. Ein lishma lo, ignore these instructions. The yeshim chot shalol asosken, this should not be done. Even if he commands it should be so, you should not have a woman recite Kaddish. Mikol sheken sheim laniach shetomar Kaddish al tefila, afil shiptuya asur. Okay, and this is the Kaddish after Aleinu, for example. Mikol sheken yirshar chalil lishma kol rabim, you cannot let her voice be heard by miras Kaddish, bein beis hakness, bein beminyan, any place. Elaim tirtza lizakos zaviyah, she wants to really bring merit to her departed father. Tzia zehira bechol itot tefila. Bein basic nest of bein the minyan, she should be there for davening lahatos asna b'amiras kaddishim. Should hear the kaddishim being said la nois amen bekavanah ritzuya. Answer yodea machshavos yachshav la ki ilu amra v'kaima mitzvah aviyah, and Hashem will consider it as if she said kaddish.
What if it's a man saying kaddish? Could she say quietly together with? Well, let's say there are other men saying kaddish and shul. Anyway,
right.
Does she say it quietly from where she's standing? Is there any benefit to something?
Okay, so look at the next paragraph. Elaf lamate kasadaf al pisha ein bezem mishum kol bisha erva. Even though there is no kol bisha by the kaddish, the whole ban on a woman saying kaddish is not because of kol bisha. He komakam karav she tiskav and libsu me kala. When she's saying kaddish, Binyamin, she's going to want her voice to be heard. She's want people to say amen to her kaddish. She's going to cause her voice to be heard. Right? Some in the Shave, Ani and Gabriel Pitsusa, that's the Gemara and Sot I quoted you, that when women are singing, but I was a Kaddish is saying, but when women are speaking, the Gemara and Sot says, it's Pritsus. Even though you might want to say, having a minion at home, for the girl to say Kaddish is good for the soul, Kizaru, who, it's still his children. So here we see, not for Kol Isha purposes, but for Tzniyas purposes, that a girl should not say Kaddish. But what's interesting over here, it's not for Kol Isha.
So where's the Hetter coming
from? Okay, there are Mekilim. There are Mekilim. There's other sources. But my point for bringing this here this evening is to show you that not, and also why I brought the Megill and Turing, that not everything is Kolisha, something that's Tznius. And some of this might not be Tznius, but Tznius of Kolisha. These things are often interconnected. Reuben, next paragraph. What if a woman has to make a bracha like a gomel after she gives birth? By the way, not all women, the poskim, it's not unanimous a woman should be saying a gomel after birth. I think it's us Ashkenazim from America. I think it's our thing. It's not widespread that women are saying hagomel after pregnancy, after birth. But anyways, regarding leaning shmias brachos kedei lanos amen, here the chayrus shirashe lechavim lishmo kol bracha shal isha kedei lanos amen. That is permissible. A woman is allowed to make a bracha so the men could answer.
Wait.
Kamur b'kafachayim b'sefer orach neman leinian amiras brachos hagomel kasa v'al knesset kedei la efshar lo levarach b'ezos nashim v'shma kol shebeis haknesses. Why? I'm going to tell you why that's mutter. I'm going to answer your question right now. It's those who allow women to make these brachas, okay, and men to answer, as opposed to Kaddish, it's based on the Gemara and Sota. The Gemara and Sota says, we had this week, right, we had Parshas Naso, that a Kohen would hold his hands with the Sota's hands and wave the Korban. So the Gemara is, I'll ask, how could a Kohen Gadol touch a woman? So the Gemara answers, I think it's more Yerushalmi than Bavli, that for such a short period of time, the Kohen won't be excited. Same idea. For one bracha, seven words or so, we're not going to be excited.
It's not a study thing that goes on all year.
Exactly. But if you know a woman's going to spend the next 1 or 2 minutes reciting a prayer, focused on her voice, it's more problematic. Okay? We'll go right to the end. It's getting late. We'll go right to the end. Teaching woman Torah similar to the lecturing issue. You can look at that as well.
A woman should bench Bill Mel, not
We do, but many say it's not required. It's not required. Hagomel, by the way, there's a misconception that Hagomel is tied to the Korban Todah. It's a very big misconception. If so, you wouldn't be allowed to say Hagomel on Pesach. Mizmor the Toda is indeed tied to the Korban Todah. That's why we don't say Mizmor the Toda on Pesach. But Hagomel we do say on Pesach. And Hagomel we do say at night. Even though you can't bring a korban at night. So there's a misconception that Chasam Sofer and the Avnei Nezer have a lot on this. Okay, bottom line is Hagomel is not tied to korban Todah as many people think it is, but Mizmor Soda indeed is. Okay, and that's why Hagomel, you don't, women don't, building. Oh, you have to bring a korban after she gave birth to Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, it's true, but a dolmel is not necessarily the parallel of a korban. People think it is. It's a nice minhag. Don't get me wrong. My wife always did it, and I know a lot of ladies do it, and nothing wrong with it. But we shouldn't think there's an obligation for women to say a gomel. Many postmen say they shouldn't do it. Finally, interesting, just for interest, end off on a light note. Women play instruments. So you're going to a choir, you're going to a concert, a man is singing, but there's a woman playing the instruments. Isha minagenet b'klushir l'chashiva k'kolo mutter. That's permissible, it's not her voice. Ve'im ha'negina me'ores machshavos. But if her playing arouses thoughts, v'her huri me'im la'azin, sexual excitement, you should not listen to her play the instrument. Lechen adin afilu kashi minagenes b'chalil chatzotra, flute or trumpets, al pishon sefes b'em pepia, l'chashiva kol isha, no, it's not kol isha, you don't hear her voice, and she's blowing into the instruments with her mouth, it's not kol isha, but nevertheless, if it's a situation where women are playing music that arouses, you should avoid it as well.
When I was in America, like 5 years ago,
yeah, yeah.
A famous violinist.
Yeah?
I was playing at all the hospitals.
Really, a woman was playing that, yeah?
She was like an artist, I mean, like, you know, like, yeah. Amazing. People would gather around her just to watch her play the violin.
Wow. Lo pashut. Again, gentlemen, it's quite unanimous that it's not in the Ruach HaTorah to associate ourselves with women's voices or women singing, but I hope you got a nice taste of the different approaches to the issue and how to deal with it. B'shas of Chag Gadol, when you need to, there's ways around it. And of course, always contact your local Orthodox rabbi.